This is it, the ultimate wellness show just for you. Wellness for Life Radio with Dr. Suzanne Bennett.
You take the time to make sure you and your family are eating the healthiest food possible, but what about your pets, your loving friends? Even with the best intentions, do you really know what your loyal friend is eating at dinner time? Here with me today is Dr. Alfred Plechner, who has been practicing veterinary medicine for almost 50 years, and he's been my vet of choice, and he's here to share with us how to feed our furry friends the best food possible. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Plechner.
Now, well, thanks so much, Suzanne, for having me. I really do appreciate it, and, you know, I really love your work over the years, because you and I have worked together on, you know, different cases and things, and we believe the same. I mean, we're thinking outside the box. We're looking for a better way. We're trying to upgrade the help that people need, not only for themselves, but also for their pets.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, can you tell us what do we have to look out for? What do we have to look out for when we purchase pet foods? Because there's so many different varieties. I'd like you to share maybe some danger words that we've got to look out for in our pet food.
Well, yeah, I think realistically, you know, the pet food market now is $42 billion. Everybody's come into it. Everybody's added. They've added things they think that people will like to eat themselves, even if it may not be good for them. You know darn well it's not going to be good for the pets. So you get into different forms of foods. The thing that people have to realize is normally the three first ingredients are 90% of that food. And so often feeding off the table, if you're eating correctly, is good. You can add fresh veggies. You can add fruit. You can add stuff if you're eating correctly. So when you look at dog foods, cat foods, pet foods, if you will, look at the first three ingredients. See what they are. If it starts off with, corn gluten, wheat gluten, you tell me how good that is. You know it's not good. And you'll get into the different types of food. That's something that people need to look to, which we'll talk about. But the things I think to watch out for is with additives like sweet potato, carrots, and apples, if they are not organic, they are going to be high in pesticides, glyphosates, the whole bit, that in fact will be estrogen mimickers and will cause inflammation, all kinds of problems, as you and I know. So the beauty, and you stay away from things if you can. Our pets are inbred now. And that's what you're looking at. You're looking at, you know, a Ferrari that can't take the gas from a 1928 Chevy. It's not going to work. It's not going to work in the system. And
right,
things that have high-level estrogen in them, whether they're plant-based, phyto, or chemical, xeno, only seem to add to the fire. So you want to avoid products that have soy in them. You want to avoid products that have sesame seed. And even sunflowers, if you can believe that, because they're all high in natural estrogen.
Wow! You know what? You know, well, if that's what we got to look out for, what do we want to see for the first three ingredients? What should we see? What do we want to look for?
We want to see probably some protein, maybe some veggies if they're, you know, healthy veggies, broccoli, whatever. But I'd like to see some kind of protein first. You know, whether it's a fish or whether it's you know, fowl, whether it's, you know, some kind of a meat product, if possible, if the animals can tolerate that. Most of them are doing better on the, literally on the fish and on the chicken, duck, and stuff like this. The interesting thing is you see raw foods, raw food diets, which are fresher. Hopefully they're processed correctly, so there's, you know, no salmonella in them, so on and so forth. But some of the raw foods are a little harder to digest, not a big deal. Grain-free foods, which is a big marketing selling point, if you will. Now, the interesting thing is we usually don't see gluten enteropathies in dogs and cats. However, the importance, as you know, of a grain-free diet is it's going to avoid GMO, genetically modified grains. And you, like corn, like in a lot of the fillers that they put in, they're genetically modified, and the research is showing the one thing that I had written about, interesting enough, in Russia, when the researchers went in and they got soybean milk for the infants, and they fed it to a family of guinea pigs. They not only got allergies, autoimmunity, and cancer, but the second generation, there was a 5 times mortality rate. And the interesting thing is a third generation feeding this genetically modified soybean milk, they were all sterile. So, wow. You know, what are we looking for? What are we leaving for our children and for our pets? See, these are things we have to really, really, really consider. And I think when you also consider a pet food, the longer the label, the worse the food, because good nutrition normally is very simple. And what you don't want to do, you want to have, and when I created foods and created Nature's Recipe, and the first non-meat foods probably 40 years ago, then all the lamb and rice, duck and potato, all of this, I went to a limited antigen diet, meaning I had one protein, one carbohydrate, because over the years, many of the animals became allergic to lamb and rice, if you will. And that's why I had to go to white potato. And right now, if you can find, say, duck and potato, fish and potato, make sure it's white potato and not sweet potato, unless it's organic. And these are some of the pitfalls that people, you know, they can actually look at.
Right. I saw on your website, drplechner.com, that you have a big list of phytoestrogens. You spoke about it a minute ago. Phytoestrogens, which are foods that actually promote the binding sites and stimulate the binding sites of estrogens in our pets. And that's something that you don't want. I mean, that list was really long, Dr. Plechner. I mean, I saw apples there, sesame seeds that you just mentioned. So we really need to go there. Go to the website, drplechner.com, and look up that article on phytoestrogens, right?
Yeah, and you know, the other end of the stick too, Suzanne, is there are thoughts that some people say, well, the phytoestrogens are good because they're short-acting, and they will bind the receptor sites for thyroid, so on and so forth, and they'll take up the place of the bad estrogen. Over the years, I have not found this to be true, but what's very simple to do, honestly, would be do a total estrogen on yourself or on your, for example, your pet, which is easy to do. Go ahead and then feed high-level phytoestrogens for 2 weeks, and then recheck to see where your estrogen levels are. See if they've gone down. And if they haven't, they've gone up, you know it's bad for you. So
right.
There's a way of factually proving this without saying, well, I think it's this, I think it's that. There's a lot of I think stuff out there that is on the internet that some is correct, some is not correct.
You know, a lot of veterinarians would say they don't even have that kind of a test. I mean, do they really do that test regularly?
They don't. Estrogen... There's only one lab in... Actually, in Texas, there's only one veterinary lab that can do the total estrogen. The rest of the laboratories in this country cannot, veterinary labs can't do them. Quest does this for humans. LabCorp, a lot of the humans will do total estrogen because this is an area that has really, really, really been missed. I mean, in the human field, they don't realize there's a tremendous amount of estrogen coming out of the inner layer adrenal cortex. And with cancer, for example, as you know, with women, if they check the three ovarian estrogens, estradiol, estrone, estriol, E1, 2, and 3, they don't look at adrenal estrogen. And I've had a number of, through MDs, obviously, a number of human patients that were postmenopausal where their estradiols were down, and they were said, well, take an estrogen patch. Well, I suggested maybe doing total estrogen, which should be 40 or less. And many of these women were at 90, 95, 100, meaning that if you get an estrogen patch, you're going to kick them into allergies, autoimmunity, and cancer. But this is, for some reason, this is definitely missed in my profession, but in the human profession, there's not a lot of belief that estrogen comes out of the adrenal cortex. They know androgen does, as you know. They know male hormones comes out for gal. But they and out of the same zona, the same layer, if you will, zona reticularis, you get a tremendous amount of estrogen. And what it's coming from, I think one of the main things that people don't realize is that if you measure a hormone in the body, you get an empirical level. That's all fine. Well, you're within the normal level. That's what the lab tells you. However, you don't know whether, in fact, in the body that's active or not. So you've got to check the effects. So when you do, for example, cortisol, whatever level it is, you do estrogen because it can be very high cortisol.
And right.
If the estrogen is high...
I'm so sorry. We got it. It's already time. How could this be so quick? You know what? Thank you so much, Dr. Plechner. Great information. Go to drplechner.com for more information. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.